In a world where disagreement can be an ugly thing, we Christians need instructions on how to disagree in a godly manner. Hello, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and this is Grace in Focus. And our featured question for today is, how can Christians disagree in a godly manner? Isn't that great? Don't we need instructions on that? Well, I hope you agree with me that we do. By the way, we're taking questions from listeners just like you, and if you've got a great question that you think should be featured on the show, you can send it to radio@faithalone.org. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar have to say about this topic. So let's go right to it. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Well, you're peppy today, Sean. I'm Bob Wilkin.
Always peppy. I guess maybe it's my extra. I'm taking this keto coffee.
Oh, you are?
Yes, it's a powder that, you know, it's kind of becomes a food supplement, but you take this powder and it's a mixture of fat and protein and other things, and you just mix it in with your coffee and you hope for the best.
Wow.
But then you end up around lunchtime and you're all stark raving at hunger.
Oh, this is a weight loss thing?
It's supposed to be, but I tell you what, every time I do good. Then I just start craving for a fried chicken sandwich. Let me tell you.
Well, I just had friends give me an air fryer. And I'm telling you, if you don't have an air fryer, you're missing out because it's fun.
I was going to say, you're not missing anything.
Oh, you are.
We have different opinions. We have an air fryer, but it's just, you know.
Oh, you do have one.
Yeah, we have one, but we just haven't found the right. It's good if you do a whole chicken.
Well, this
it's
is
really good for whole
let's
chicken.
Let's talk about some recipes for air fryer
well,
whole chicken.
You know what this reminds me of?
No.
Maybe, okay, I have a question here.
Okay.
I'm totally going to ignore it. I have a different question.
Okay.
My own question
okay.
based on what just happened.
All right.
So how can we as Christians disagree in a godly manner?
Oh, that's a good question.
Is that a good question? And I'm not talking about air fryers necessarily.
No.
I'm talking about just about anything, but especially, let's say, theology or things like that. How can we disagree in a godly manner? Because I know I'm an expert in disagreeing in an ungodly manner.
Yeah.
And other people are too. Especially, I think social media has really brought this out, and recent politics has really brought this out, and all kinds of cultural things, the culture wars have really brought this out. But how can we, as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, disagree? And there are disagreements, and I don't think pretending the disagreements don't exist is the right answer. So how can we address the disagreements in a godly manner?
Romans 14 addresses that, and it's dealing with the stronger brother, weaker brother. The illustrations that Paul uses concern some rather mundane things.
Right.
Like some people think it's okay to eat meat, and some people think, no, you should be a vegetarian.
Yeah.
You know, some people think that it's okay to eat meats offered to idols as long as no one raises a conscience concern.
Uh-huh.
And others say, no, that's a problem. And so Paul's point is for both groups of people. If you're the stronger brother, you're not to go out of your way to offend the weaker brother, but you're to seek to get along with the weaker brother and not go out of your way to offend the person. You don't
right.
have to exercise your liberty in front of them all the time.
Right.
And secondly, if you're the weaker brother, you need to avoid getting all bent out of shape because you know this other brother will eat things at home that you don't eat. Even if he doesn't do it in front of you, you
sure.
know that he does that. Or you're not condemning him because, let's say, he drinks wine and you don't drink wine.
Right.
Because
right.
you think it's somehow sinful to drink wine. And so I think the principle from Romans 14 is we're to have peace.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, some people think the fruit of the Spirit are all about feelings we have. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Right.
But all those are inner feelings. But most commentators point out that this is corporate, and this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control is all within a community, within
right.
the believing community, and so that we have peace with one another.
Right. I was just reading about this actually recently, and this author was pointing to all the one another verses and making the same point, because you can't be gentle all by yourself. You can't be peaceable all by yourself.
Right.
It presumes that you're being peaceable and gentle with other people, with one another.
And so, even the self-control, too, right?
And yeah, self-control regarding what? Well, I mean, I guess you can be self-controlled regarding fried chicken sandwiches.
No, you
which
can't.
I need sanctifying there. But hey, don't judge me. I'm the weaker brother.
No, I understand. I was just making a joke. I was not
serious.
Is
this all about my chicken sandwich,
Bob? I love those number three sandwiches at Chick-fil-A, which are fried chicken sandwiches.
I got to say, though, I like Popeyes.
Oh, that's number one, I think. I don't know, whatever number it is.
I got to say, I like Popeyes. But I saw an article recently that said the most unhealthy food you can eat is the fried chicken sandwich at Popeyes, and I understand, but it is delicious. But okay, so these fruits of the Spirit, and also I think there's about 58 one another's, it all presumes this corporate reality, this body life, this church life, and also your neighborly life, right? You're also supposed to be gentle with your non-Christian neighbors as well, I would assume.
Right. Paul says in Galatians 6:10, let us do good to all, especially to the household of faith. So that's especially to be shown in the believing community, but also to unbelievers.
So if you're disagreeing with someone, let's say on this food issue, what you're saying is in Romans 14 is you have to make allowances for your weaker brother. Is that right? And that means what does that look like? Just not getting on their case about it?
You're not rubbing their nose in it. You're not saying, you know, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's wrong to drink wine? There's nothing wrong with drinking wine. Jesus drank wine.
Right. Why are you just
a apostles
vegetarian?
Drank wine. Yeah, why are you a vegetarian?
Why
are you a
nincompoop? Meat?
Yeah. What's wrong with you? God gave us all things to enjoy. Look at all these scripture. You need to... No. Look, if a person's a vegetarian conscientiously,
sure,
then we don't mess with them.
Right.
And take me, for example. I don't drink at all wine or beer or spirits or anything because I grew up in an alcoholic family. But if you're around me, I could care less. If you want to have a beer, I don't care. If you want to have wine, I don't care. Now, if you got drunk, I would care.
Yes.
This was many years ago, 15 years ago probably. I went with a fellow DTS grad to... He got us both tickets for the Mavericks basketball game.
Okay.
And we went to the game, and he said, do you mind if I have a beer? And I said, I don't care. So he had a beer. Didn't bother me. He didn't get drunk. Mm-hmm. He wasn't out of control. But let's say I was the kind of person that it really did offend me. Well, then I would appreciate him asking me, right?
Right.
I'd say, no, really, I'd rather you not drink.
So you could ask if you know that someone is struggling with something.
Yeah.
All right, well, how about this? I'm also thinking of Titus 3. In Titus 3, Paul writes, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. But then in verse 2, he says, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. This speaking evil, this happens all the time. People speak evilly of each other constantly, especially in the... Yeah, he's mentioning politics here and just the recent events around politics. There's just a lot of evil speaking. Is this something Christians should be doing?
No, and of course there's a question. By the way, the Greek is interesting because the Greek word here is to blaspheme no one.
Oh,
or
blaspheme.
Slander no one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit stronger than speaking evil of someone. I've just been reading a book criticizing some of the things I've written and said, and the person does it in rather strong terms. I wonder, can a person criticize you in harsh terms and yet not being blaspheming you or not being slandering you? Well, I suppose the question is, are they using godly language? If they're cussing you out, no.
Right, right.
But if they're using godly language and they're saying things that might be perceived as a bit harsh,
yeah,
I could see that. I mean, I don't like people writing negative things against me, but if there's truth to what they're saying, well, then I'm going to respond to it in the right way, and I'm going to change my actions or my words as a result. So I think there is a place for correcting a brother. Obviously, we see that all through the New Testament.
Sure.
But you wouldn't do it in a blasphemous way. You're not slandering the person.
But it can get fairly strong when I think about Jesus and Paul. I mean, rarely. It can get pretty strong, you know, calling people whitewashed tombs or foxes.
Right.
Or I think Paul was the most extreme, you know, kind of wishing that the Pharisees would basically give themselves a vasectomy, more or less, or worse, beyond
cut themselves off, There's some really strong language, and Paul declares an anathema, Galatians 1:8-9,
right.
Which refers, I think, to a curse here and now and not to eternal condemnation. And I think it's also 1 Corinthians 16, if anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. So that's another anathema. But, so those things aren't wrong.
They're not wrong, but I would be real cautious, knowing my own heart, you know, knowing my own predilection to getting angry and reacting instead of thinking about things calmly. I would try to go with the gentle correction first, I think.
We need to be careful that we're not abusive or slanderous or going overboard, because you can actually hurt a fellow brother or sister by a harsh tone in what you say or write.
Absolutely. Just the tone itself can be really harming to someone. And this description does not describe me. I mean, I'm aspiring to be that gentle person.
Right, right.
You know? I'm aspiring to be that peaceable person. Now, as a Canadian, I think I have an advantage over you Americans in terms of peace.
What do you mean,
bit.
You Americans? You became
You're
an
right.
American.
I'm American now. But I have that Canadian peacemaking of, culture, eh? We like to fight. Someone asked me, why is it that all you theologians fight on the internet all the time? And I said, it's not us theologians, it's men. Men like to fight about everything.
Right.
Sports, politics, which Star Wars movie was the best.
Right.
And they also argue about theology. So cut us a little bit of slack, because that's kind of how we, you know, we like to box and we can't do it in real life. So we verbally box with arguments and things like that.
Right.
Having said that, there is a good way to do it and there's a bad way to do it. Throwing out names and not treating people like a person loved by God. And there's all kinds of ways that this can go wrong.
Well, I know we don't have much time, Sean, but let me say, in the very beginning years of Grace Evangelical Society, we tended, and I particularly tended, to write about what we were against and what I was against. So I talked against Lordship Salvation and things like that. My board came out and said, no, what we're going to do is write what we're for. Mm. It doesn't mean we can't respond to error, but our basic approach is going to be to speak about what we're for. And I think that's a good approach.
Right.
So we should seek to be gentle. And I hope on this show that everyone listening finds us to be gentle toward those we disagree with. I hope they don't feel like we're being harsh and slanderous. At least that's not our aim. Our aim is to be gentle and peaceable.
And if you listen to the show, maybe you'll see us grow in those virtues.
Amen.
By the grace of God. Well, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, that's our show for Friday. Thank you for being with us, and we look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.